Yes, let's hope so. Yes, indeed.
Your description of the gathering on the West Coast was similar to one that happened in Barrie.
So I heard, yes.
One of the first things we did as a group was we put this avatons in a circle. And there was a very powerful symbolism in that for me that I've been re-experiencing a lot, and that it had to do with what you described as moving our awareness of authority to ourselves, where it belonged, and perhaps especially as well to the community of people gathered, because there's an extra synergy in that for some reason that perhaps you don't know. And I'm just getting very excited that that's really happening.
It is indeed. And we should all be excited about this.
Yeah.
Yes. And make and do more. I mean, be participants in this everywhere. When Molly says, what's happening Zen in America? I say, Molly, just, you know, listen to this, look at this. And it's not just Zen. It's just this wonderful feeling. This your Bari experience was described to me by Mike Anat, and she had this wonderful experience too, that here were these women really together, really together. And we can do that with men too, of course. And that is absolutely indispensable. No man is excluded from this. But I think that men feeling that women are becoming strong in this gives them a sense of, as it does with liberation of women, that men are liberated from having to worry about what's happening to us. Right? True? Yes. We're doing it ourselves. We don't have to say to our husband or our lover, honey, would you do this for me? Do it! Yes.
I don't know whether this is true or not, but I've been getting this feeling whenever I'm in a group with other jellies, that there seems to be an extension on the body level. When you did the chanting, you know, we do it at home, not the same kind of energy. When we walk in the little what I've done in East Park Street, it is not the same walking that we do in our house.
Let's say when somebody starts to paint, they don't paint the way you do. You paint as an artist, a real artist, and you have been practicing this for years. My practice, my everyday life practice is chanting, walking, sitting, every day, for years. If I didn't have some kind of energy to give you, or all of us did not have some kind of energy to give one another from this, then it's simply a matter of that, of practice. Isn't it?
Yes. Irene Koskoe-Levin points to something, and again, I don't know whether it's true or not. She said that women, and not all women, it depends what the balance there is in each individual. But women have the ability to focus in a way that is less panoramic than a woman who is more masculine. I know this is getting pretty mean. That in the practice that I've done with women, there is an intensification which is centered in a very different way. That's a question directed towards you.
I don't know what to say to you to that. I can only tell you that my experience of this is simply that whatever comes from us, from any of us, not just from me, is because of what we are doing, feeding that, nourishing that, like practicing for a concert. I can't get up on the platform and play a Beethoven sonata unless I have worked at it for years, literally, and pulled it apart and sat with it. I mean sat with it. I practice sitting on the cushion, sitting, practicing the piano. And then come to that place, and unselfconsciously, I have no idea what's coming through me. And I hope not. That'll be like saying what you said before, well, I've given up, I've let go. I can't stop and say, gee, I'm playing beautifully, it's gone. You are so much in it. Whatever it is, this chanting, this walking, this whatever, you're not conscious that you're doing it, you're being done. That's just it. It's that feeling of self-consciousness that inhibits us, and then the energy doesn't flow.
So you're being breathed.
Yes, being breathed, being played, being whatever it is. You're just the vehicle for it. But the vehicle has to be trained, has to be tuned. You can't play the piano if it's out of tune. You can't chant wholeheartedly. You can't go "Kah!" wholeheartedly from your belly, spontaneously, freely. That's our freedom. The true freedom comes from that strong, 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 strong discipline. You told me when you came to sit with us that you never really had experienced that strong a discipline. So that's it. That discipline, that strength. Not me. It's what you put into it. You felt it.
Well, it was the stop the mind gossip was beginning itself.
Congratulations. Well, have we come to the end of this period, and now you're ready for your small groups? Or is there anything else anybody else wants to say? It's 3:10. Anyone? Yes.
Could you talk about balance, when you need balance? I know you talked about the in and the out,
Well, this is just a natural thing in the whole order of things, isn't it? That, for example, we're going into the evening, and then there's night, and then there's morning, and then there's noon. And this is a balance in us, that we are part of the time, for example, in the evening, our mind settles down, quiets down a little bit, we sleep. We are rejuvenated. We get up. We're refreshed. You sit on the cushion. You let your mind do its less involved thinking activity. You come to some kind of intuitive realization of what other things are in you. And this balance of, how shall we say, absolute matter and relative matter is what we have to keep in very good order. And we can describe it as breathing in, taking in all of this, and giving out when we exhale all of this. This is a natural balance. If we do not do that, as we were talking together about being compassionate, if we're just giving out all the time, all the time, all the time, we burn out. There's no balance there. So this balance goes into everything. The same way with painting, there's only a certain amount that you can do, and then you're dull. Your mind says, I can't do that anymore. And it becomes uncreative. And you have to go out and lie down in the grass, or cook up something, or listen to something, or do something different. This is keeping a balance. True? True?
Yeah? So in a way, grounded in absolute, infinite Buddha sort of thing, and to be our finite
selves. We have to be both, my darling. There's no way around it. I mean, if I'm just saying I'm an evanescent, blah, 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 I can't stand on this floor and talk to you. Right?
Yes.
Yes, that's your practice right now. Yes, it is. You know that. Yes?
Question about your title and the contrast between the title last year, which was gentle and tough, and this year, which is gentle and strong.
I told you I'm getting older.
But no less tough or strong,
right?
But I guess what I mentioned is the contrast between the gentle on one hand and then the contrast term strong or tough. And why did you change it? And could you say a little bit about how that relates to women and women's traditional way of operating in the world? I mean, the traditional role that women have played, the way women have been traditionally seen as weak, soft.
Well, I think that's the whole point of this title, as I see it. And I hope that I'm showing you that. That's my hope. That, yes, I am a woman. Yes, I have loving feelings. Yes, I want to embrace every single one of you and hug you close to my heart. But at the same time, I know it would not be good for you. So I have to stand firm and tough sometimes. For the sake of, just as you do with your children, you cannot always be handing them sweeties. You have to be tough sometimes. Also, we have to be tough sometimes, innerly, always compassionate and tough, so that there is this balance that we were talking about. If you are compassionate to the point of mushiness, no good. No action can ever be accomplished. If you are compassionate with a feeling of strength behind it, then the two things can work together, and sometimes real toughness to really get to it. We can't just mush about. Sometimes I have to yell at people, stop that! Get up! I mean, if the house is burning, you don't say, would you please be kind enough to come out? Please come. My heart tells me that you're going to be in danger. Get up! Get out! Be tough! That's just a symbol, but you understand.
But be tough with love.
Oh, yes. They're not separate. That's why I said put them together. They're not separate. One balances the other. That's the basis of Buddhism, wisdom and compassion. Being open, but knowing when to let that by itself be. You do it. I'm here. I'm here for you. But you do it.
I have a hard time understanding, sort of in the context of reincarnation and karma and whatever all that stuff is, understanding the incredible suffering that goes on, the torture in Latin America, El Salvador, things like that. It seems incredible. I can't just sit here and say, well, that's just their karma.
No, we can't. We can't possibly do that. Again, this is for all of us. We cannot just sit on our cushion and be peaceful. We can sit on our cushion and be strong and again have compassion for those people who suffer like this. Deep compassion. And if possible, do something. I know young people who are down there trying to do something, using their energy to do something. Again, it's an act of compassion. No, we can't just describe that to, oh, well, these people misbehaved in some past life or something, and so they've got to go through this. We suffer with them. Absolutely.
But is there a way of saying an understanding about the meaning?
Well, I think the meaning of all suffering is to move us on. So if you see somebody else's suffering and pain, if possible, you try to do something immediate for them, or you try to understand more deeply what this is about. So that it really is a practice, it really is something to sit with. Well, it's 3:15 and you are ready for your other little groups. Thank you very much for being together. It's been a wonderful time for me.